Welcome to CL Talk, the leading podcast for the legal profession across Canada, brought to you by Canadian Lawyer Magazine.
Welcome to CL Talk. I'm Tim Wilbur, the managing editor of Canadian Lawyer Magazine. Today, I'm speaking with Colin Levy, a well-known legal tech expert and corporate lawyer. He's currently the director of legal for Malbec, a leading contract management company, and has served in numerous legal roles for companies in the technology industry for over a decade. He's also a thought leader with a large online following where he writes about legal tech. His recent book is called The Legal Tech Ecosystem, Innovation, Advancement, and the Future of Law Practice. Welcome, Colin.
Thanks for having me.
So, Canadian lawyers, you know, are using legal tech just like lawyers in the U.S. where you are. And I know you visited Canada and spoken here about legal tech as well. But I just want to, you know, ask questions from the perspective of a lawyer who maybe uses a bit of technology, but is not an expert. So just really basic, can you tell me what is legal tech?
Sure. So legal tech has a variety of definitions, but the way I look at it is technologies that are directed at improving the delivery of legal services and aligning the delivery of legal services with those most in need of such legal help.
Great. And I know, you know, some lawyers are really into tech and some hate it, and some want to be better at it, but don't know where to start. So I want to probably talk about the third one there from their perspective. But from the lawyers who hate tech, why do you think they should care about legal tech?
Well, I think that it starts with understanding that technology isn't going anywhere. It continues to advance, and it has no agenda, meaning that it's not out to purposely induce fear in you or to cause anxiety. And, you know, on the other hand, it's also not, doesn't care whether you like it or not. It's here. It's continuing to play a bigger and bigger role in our professional as well as our personal lives. And so I think that there's a certain element of adaptation that's required here, particularly if you want to remain valuable and relevant to those who are looking for your help, because in all likelihood, the clients that you are working with or will be working with will be more tech savvy than you are and aware of technologies that exist and come in with an expectation that you're going to be using some technologies in your practice, because otherwise they'll likely think, well, why is this person not using tech? What is going on with them? And perhaps I'm going to seek help elsewhere.
Yeah. And I know when looking at legal technology, there's some sort of basic things that lawyers should think about that aren't about the actual bells and whistles or the specific software. So what are the mistakes that lawyers make before they start diving into this and making decisions about what to use in their practice?
So I would describe the biggest mistake as shiny key syndrome, meaning that they tend to be attracted to whatever is the latest and greatest technology out there without giving thought to exactly what their reason for looking at that technology is, which goes back to something that I say a lot, which is you need to understand your problem before you go off in search of a solution, because the last thing you want is to have a solution in search of a problem. So this can manifest itself in a number of ways, including being attracted to kind of what the shiniest new tech is, or going off the basis of a recommendation you get from a friend. But the challenge there is your friend's situation may in all likelihood be different from yours, which means you really need to understand the context of your specific situation, your needs, and let that define your search and help you evaluate tools. Because there's a lot out there, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to get confused. And it's easy to sometimes just go after whatever seems to be the one tool that everyone else is using. But again, it goes, you know, the way to reduce all of that is to understand your problem first.
Great. And you know, our readers are run the gamut. So we have lawyers who have, you know, consumer facing practices where their clients may be unsophisticated and, you know, they're not going to get involved with these kinds of decisions. But then all the way from large law firms that have general counsel clients. So how do you kind of figure that out? And what are the different kind of versions of how a lawyer would tackle this problem or think about this problem before they started actually, you know, purchasing technology.
Right. So, you know, if you are a smaller firm, a solo firm, or a legal department, you obviously have different clients. You know, your legal department is going to, your client's going to be your business. If you're a solo or small law firm, you know, your clients may be very diverse. For a big law firm, you may have a lot of very sophisticated clients, but all focused on a specific area of law. So I think all those different nuances kind of can help inform you with respect to looking at different technologies, because the good news is there are technology solutions out there for any type of lawyer, regardless of what their specific situation is. It's just a matter of understanding what your situation is and helping that inform your search. For example, you know, if you're a solo law firm, perhaps one of the biggest pain points is administration, billing, invoicing, intake, that type of thing. And the good news is there are plenty of solutions out there that can help with that. Perhaps one of the best well-known ones happens to be also a Canadian legal tech company, Clio, which can very easily handle those challenges and make it a lot easier and less time consuming. So that's sort of the type of thing I think to consider, is that there are all these different tools out there, and it's just a matter of kind of what your pain points are. And this tech also, you know, varies in terms of level of comfortability. You know, there are some tools that require very little setup, very little tech savviness, and others that perhaps require a little more tech savviness. But the good news is there are tools that can help with any situation and also can help regardless of what your tech expertise is. So, you know, there's no need to fear tech. I would suggest instead looking at it and kind of looking at it as just something to augment your existing practice and help you be more productive and, quite frankly, be more valuable to those you're seeking to help.
Great. And in your book, you kind of go through some really the myths that impede people from lawyers from properly using tech. So one of the big ones is mixing up legal tech with artificial intelligence, which was obviously, you know, the big buzzword of this year with ChatGPT and that kind of thing. So tell me about what the mistake lawyers make mixing those two up and what the difference is.
Well, I think the challenge is that artificial intelligence has embedded itself into a number of different legal technology solutions. However, artificial intelligence by itself is a broad term that encompasses a lot of different things, not all of which are legal tech solutions. In fact, I would say legal tech composes a small segment of what artificial intelligence encompasses. So I think it's important to understand that there are legal tech solutions out there that perhaps use or have artificial intelligence embedded into them. There are also tools that perhaps don't make much use of artificial intelligence because there's no need. You know, for example, automating the creation of a document, for example, may not necessarily require artificial intelligence. So I think it's important to distinguish between the two, even though the two are definitely growing more integrated, in large part due to the rise of generative artificial intelligence, which is something that obviously has dominated this year.
Great. And lawyers, you know, especially, I guess, lawyers at smaller firms or mid-sized firms that don't have in-house legal tech experts often feel overwhelmed when they, you know, they're tasked with figuring these kinds of things out. How do you think they can overcome that? And what are the sort of first steps they should take if they have that feeling of just being totally overwhelmed with what's out there?
So I think instead of kind of just looking at the landscape of what's out there, it starts with why, answering that question for yourself. Why are you looking for a legal tech solution? Is it because you have a certain pain point, or you're investigating a potential new way of doing something, or you're just curious about sort of the space and learning more? So I think, you know, answering the question why is a good way to reduce the potential for you to be overwhelmed. And on top of that, there's plenty of resources that can help sort of distinguish between sort of the substance of what's out there and the noise. Legal Tech Hub, for example, is an excellent website that not only has vendors, but also has a variety of resources to help you sort of figure out what is out there, because there's a lot and there's a lot of noise and a lot of hype. So certainly I think that is one good resource. And the other, another good resource would be the book I just wrote, Legal Tech Ecosystem, which is intended to be sort of a very accessible, non-technical introduction to this world of legal tech. And one thing that I think distinguishes it from some of these other books that are out there is that it features stories from those who have been working in this space, creating tools. So you can actually better understand kind of their perspective, some of whom are actual former or even current lawyers.
Great. And you also, you stress in your book that legal tech is an ecosystem. So it's not, I guess, about just individual products. Can you tell me a bit about more why that's important for lawyers to keep in mind?
Sure. Well, like any ecosystem, there are different elements that are interdependent and impact one another. And legal tech is no different in many ways. Legal tech, yes, involves technology, but it also very much involves people, processes, and businesses that all rely upon one another and depend upon one another. So they all are impacted in different ways by different things. Technology impacts how people work. People then work differently, which impacts how businesses operate and so on. And I think we've seen that, you know, writ large by the rise of generative artificial intelligence. So that's why I really stress this idea of an ecosystem, because technology by itself is great, but its value comes from those who use it. And those are people. And then its value is further enhanced by being integrated into a process. And so that's really why I mention and describe legal tech as an ecosystem, because it's far more than just about the tech.
And often lawyers are reluctant to either purchase or incorporate technology because, and we've all had this experience, you know, outside of the law and just in our personal lives where we buy something and then it works fine, but then a year later it stops working and it has to be updated and it's no longer integrating with other things. So just this idea that you learn, you figure something out and then it becomes quickly out of date, soon after once you've finally figured out how to use it. So how do lawyers avoid that from happening where they're just kind of chasing things that aren't going to last?
Yeah, so I think it comes from a couple of different places. One is understanding that technology continues to advance. And so, you know, any existing tool you use likely will evolve over time as the technology itself evolves, which means you need to adapt and be open to learning and experimentation. And then secondly, I think it comes with an understanding that, you know, the concepts underlying these technologies have not really changed. So if anything, if you want to understand technology, understand the concepts that underlie kind of basic things like automation and data analysis and so on before you start looking at tools, because it's important to sort of understand how they essentially work. And that can make it less intimidating to understand how specific tools work as well. So I think that really, you know, the bottom line is context matters, as does being open to adaptation and to some degree being comfortable being uncomfortable, because you know, things change, life changes, the world is very dynamic, and we need to sort of accommodate and be accustomed to that sort of level of change.
And I know, you know, for myself, with technology that I use at work, I don't practice law, I'm a journalist, but I find it's actually, and you know, we don't do product reviews on this podcast, but going with large companies like Microsoft, for example, you're less likely to have the company just change overnight and change its philosophy and no longer want to serve whatever purpose you needed the technology for, versus small companies that tend to change very quickly. So do you have any advice on that? Like, are there, you mentioned Clio, is it better to go with a company that has a broad range of services and that is dedicated to legal, or should lawyers go with small companies maybe that are more innovative?
So I think sort of the way to frame it is to look at kind of, you know, if you're looking for sort of to solve a specific problem, like an administrative issue, i.e., you know, intake, creation of documents, billing, what have you, then it perhaps makes more sense to look at a more legal specific tool. If you're looking for something that perhaps can help with in a variety of different areas and has broader application, then probably makes sense to look at some of these larger tech companies and their array of offerings. I also think it's important to note, sort of as a corollary to this, topic, that legal tech is quickly becoming a space filled with platforms, i.e. a platform that offers a variety of different tools within one interface. So with that in mind, I think it's also important to consider, you know, your existing tech stack and how these tools potentially could fit into your existing tech stack. Or if you don't have one, perhaps it makes sense to go for a platform type approach that can kind of have a built-in tech stack for you that all integrates and works well with one another.
Great. And, you know, we're not in to predicting the future. I know no one can do that, but your book has, you know, talk about ideas like Web 3.0 and techno-optimism and those kinds of ideas, that sort of philosophies that you might apply or how things are moving. So what's your prediction in terms of how the average lawyer is going to be impacted by tech, or maybe the most successful ones, how, what they'll need to be doing on a high level to really integrate these tools into their practice in a successful way?
Well, I'm not very, very good at predicting either, but I don't think it's far-fetched to predict that those most successful lawyers going forward will be those that are best able to make use of data analytics, and those who are able to best experiment and learn from using tech. They don't necessarily have to be tech savvy completely or even love tech, but they have to be open to learning and experimentation, because the world, again, is becoming ever more intertwined with the tech world. And those who are most successful will be those who can best navigate that relationship. And that starts with having an understanding of that relationship and a comfort with both sides of the coin there, meaning, you know, comfortability with sort of learning about technologies, as well as an understanding of sort of their benefits and limitations as well.
Well, that's great. I went through all my questions that, you know, I wanted to ask you about technology broadly. Is there anything else that I didn't sort of ask about that you think, you know, all lawyers should kind of keep in mind, or that you've found is a really key thing for you know, lawyers that are interested, technology curious perhaps, but not sophisticated in their understanding?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would just add is following an approach that I took when I first was learning about technology, because I didn't always love technology. I actually feared it many years ago. But my way of overcoming that and my way of learning more was reaching out to people who are doing things in the space and having quick little conversations with them. A, it helps to build a relationship with these folks. And B, people want to share what they're up to. And it's a great way to learn about what's going on in the space, as well as the challenges that exist in the space as well, in a non-intimidating kind of broad approach.
Well, great. Thank you, Colin, for joining us today on CL Talk. And best of luck with your book and with all the work and the thought leadership you contribute to the legal community in North America.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for tuning in to CL Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for CL Talk.